Amen. God bless you, choir. Thank you. Thank you, Grace, for leading us this morning. Let me just commend to you our celebration choir. If you were not here last Sunday to hear their Christmas music presentation, let me encourage you to go to our YouTube channel, and you can see that service archived, that December 17th Sunday morning service archived, and you will be blessed immeasurably. Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles and find Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1, appropriately so, this morning we look at the Christmas story. If you are a guest here at Emory Baptist Church today, we began studying the Gospel of Luke on the first Sunday in December, and we worked really, really hard to get to this point, perhaps even looking at more verses than we normally would on each Sunday morning, but we wanted to be here in Luke chapter 2 on Sunday morning before Christmas, and so thank you for your patience and understanding in that regard. And then after today and into 2024, we will continue in the Gospel of Luke, so I want to invite you and encourage you to be a part and join with us. When we think about the Christmas story, a story that is probably very familiar with most everyone, if not everyone in the room, and yet it should never lose its wonder and awe for us as followers of Christ. Look there in these first seven verses as we think about and remember the incarnation of God. That word incarnation means in the flesh. And listen to what Dr. Luke wrote there in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this was the purpose, for the purpose of a tax that would soon follow. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. And so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Verse 4, Joseph. Do you remember Joseph? Joseph, the husband of Mary. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Now, in the recent Sundays, we have talked about betrothal and how that is similar, not exactly like, but similar to our engagement period. But betrothal was more binding, and the breaking of that betrothal relationship would have been considered divorce. Verse 6, so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. When we think about the incarnation of God, God coming in the flesh, let's remember this morning that it was prophesied in Scripture. It was prophesied in Scripture. I want you to look back at Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. This is a verse that many people reference and talk about, particularly the Christmas season. But some 700 years before Luke chapter 2, Micah the prophet said this about Bethlehem. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. That little Bethlehem would be the specific place, the specific location, and at this specific time would be the place where God became flesh. Not only is the incarnation of God prophesied in Scripture, but God, or Jesus, was conceived by the Spirit. Conceived by the Spirit. If you look back in chapter 1 and verse 35, remember the conversation that the angel had with Mary? And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." It wasn't Jesus' birth that was immaculate. Jesus' birth was like any birth here in the room this morning. But it was Jesus' conception that was immaculate, as he was conceived by the Spirit. And so then there on the pages of Scripture, not a long explanation. As a matter of fact, just simply one verse, verse 7. Dr. Luke described the birth of our Savior this way. "And Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Brothers and sisters, don't lose sight of the awe and the majesty and the wonder and yet the simplicity of Jesus Christ coming to earth, the incarnation of God. Notice beginning there in verse 8, the proclamation from the angels. The angels had something to say about this. It's a different scene taking place at the same time, but in a different location. Notice verse 8. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night." You know what the shepherds were doing? They were doing what shepherds did. They were watching over their sheep. "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid." By the way, this is how all interactions in the Bible occur between humans and angels. The humans are always deathly afraid. Verse 10, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" So first one angel, and then a multitude of angels. They had a message to proclaim. They had some instructions for the shepherds to go and find this God in the flesh. Look back there in verse 10 for just a moment. The first thing that the angel says to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings." Your translation may say good news. It's the word that we use today, gospel. And it is good news. And can I just remind you this morning, on this day before, this Sunday before Christmas, what is the good news of the gospel? Well, the good news of the gospel starts with a holy God. God being 100% holy, without spot, without blemish, without sin, without darkness, without shadow, 100% holy. And he created you and me to be in perfect fellowship with him. God wanted to have a personal and saving relationship with each and every one of us. But we sinned. We sinned, and because we are sinners, we cannot have that perfect fellowship with a holy God apart from a sinless, perfect Savior. And that's why we have Christmas. That's why God became flesh. Because you and I are sinners. We choose to sin. Our sin separates us from God. And therefore, we need a perfect, spotless, sinless substitute. Jesus Christ, who not only would be God in the flesh, but would eventually die on the cross, be resurrected from the grave, and desire a personal saving relationship with anyone and everyone in the room. And so the invitation is for you to call on the name of the Lord to save you. The good news of the gospel at the end of verse 10 is not just for a few people. It's not just for a select number, but notice what the text says. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Regardless of what you've done, regardless of your past, regardless of anything in your life, when you put your faith and trust in Christ, nothing can separate you from the love of God. And yet, that is the only way. Faith in Christ is the only way to be at peace with God. Notice what the multitudes of angels said again there in verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, God wants to be at peace with us. We need to be at peace with him. But it can only happen one way. Jesus Christ said himself in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And here's how Paul said it in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to have peace with you. We need to have peace with God, but it only comes not through morality. We can never be good enough. Not even through baptism, though I am so thankful this morning for the opportunity to baptize Oakley and Stryker and Radley. But we're not made right. We don't have that peace because of baptism. It only comes through a personal saving relationship with Christ. That was the announcement. That was the proclamation from the angels. And then thirdly this morning, beginning in verse 15, notice the exaltation by the shepherds. The worship that the shepherds demonstrated once they encountered the Son of God, the Son of Man. Verse 15, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. The shepherds had this worship that they needed to experience personally. The angels had told them, but they needed to see for themselves. And so they traveled to Bethlehem, and they found the babe just as they were told. And so notice there in verse 16 that they experienced Jesus Christ personally. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. It's something they just couldn't hear about. They had to make a personal decision. They had to go and experience personally the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you this morning, each and every individual, have you experienced personally Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And notice, not only did they experience the Lord Jesus personally, but they then in turn witnessed for him publicly. While your decision to follow Christ, each and every one of yours, is a personal decision, brothers and sisters, it was never meant to remain private. Let me say that again. Yes, your decision to follow Christ is personal. You have to make that decision yourself. I can't make it for you. Moms and dads can't make it for their children. Children can't make it for their parents. Siblings and spouses can't make it for others. You have to make that decision personally. But when you make it, it is never intended to remain private, but to be shared publicly. Look at what the shepherds did. Now, when they had seen him, whom? The Lord Jesus. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And then skip down to verse 20. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. They experienced Jesus personally, and then they worshiped him publicly, sharing what Jesus had done in their lives. And so let me ask you this morning, has that happened for you? And if it has, this Christmas season, would you make the commitment to share publicly all of what Jesus Christ has done in your life? Share your testimony. This is who I was before Christ. This is how Christ changed me. And now this is who I am since receiving Christ. Brothers and sisters, that's my challenge to you this morning. And ladies and gentlemen, that's my invitation to you this morning. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? In just a moment, after I finish praying, I'm going to invite you to stand and sing as Brother Chris will come and he'll lead us this morning in a time of commitment as we sing our song of invitation. And we would invite you this morning to respond publicly to what God has done in your heart and in your life. If today you would say yes and answer to call to Jesus for the very first time, I'm going to invite you just simply to step out of one of these aisles and make your way here to the front. I'd love to greet you, love to welcome you, love to pray with you, love to rejoice with you. Maybe you're here today and you're a guest. You've been visiting Emory Baptist Church for a number of weeks. What a very special day for you to formally join Emory Baptist Church, to unite with this body of believers. We'd love to welcome you this morning. Maybe you just need to simply make that recommitment of your life unto the Lord to do as the shepherds did, declaring the message of Christ publicly because of what Jesus had done in their lives personally. I would invite you to do that this morning. Father in heaven, we're grateful and thankful for the story of Christmas. Father, let it never lose its wonder or its awe or its majesty in our lives. And we're grateful and thankful today for God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Man. We love you, and we know that you love us because of Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet as Brother Chris comes to lead us, and I'll be here at the front. Today we would invite you to respond publicly to the invitation that has been shared.